All right, Psalm 23. Won't you stand, please? Psalm 23. We're finishing it out tonight. We're finishing it out. Psalm 23, verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and now tonight as we close up, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us. Father, we ask this according to thy will in the blessed Lord Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So as David is winding up this psalm, what does it end up with here in verse number 6? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whose house did David say he was going to dwell in forever? The house of the Lord. Now that's interesting, because look what David said in verse 1. Who is David's shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. David said the Lord is his shepherd. So then David says, if David says the Lord is my shepherd, that means David is the Lord's sheep. And then he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So a sheep dwelling in the shepherd's house? How can this be? How can that be? How could a sheep dwell in the shepherd's house? By love. Take your Bible, I'll show it to me. Go to 2 Samuel 12. You know, I believe, I don't know if anyone knows, maybe someone does know somewhere, but when, I don't know when Psalm 23 was written. But you know what? I wonder if Nathan, the prophet, knew of that psalm. I know the Lord did. The Lord did. Because man, in the light of that psalm, compared to what Nathan tells David, he gets real interesting. Because look at 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. I mean, that man loved that sheep. That man loved that sheep. I mean, look at what the Bible says. It says he bought it and nourished it up, nourished it. It grew up together with him and with his children. It was like a family member. It did eat off his own meat. I can't tell you that I could do that. I just can't tell you that I could do that. I can't tell you that I could let a sheep eat of my meat and drink from my cup. I know some of you's with me on that thing. I know some of you are. I know you are. Listen. I can drink after Sarah, but it ain't like I, you know, knock a door down to do it. I mean, you know, I'm funny about that. I'm funny about that. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's different. But, you know, I mean, somebody drinking from your drink. You know, a lot of times it's like, hope you like that flavor. I'm going to give me, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's different. But look here. But that sheep drinking from his own cup. But if I was sitting at somebody's table and they were slurping them down some tea and they said, oh, hang on just a minute. Here you go, Susie Q, whatever your name is, whatever like that. Here you go. I can't just do what I thought he did. He didn't just do that. And then like, I'd be like, ooh. I mean, that'd be rough. That'd be rough. You know, and sharing it, that'd be kind of rough. But listen to me. That man loved that sheep. Well, brethren, look here. For the Lord to share his table with us. Amen. As he does, he shares his spiritual table with us. He lets us, he is willing to condescend to us and let us share things with Him. That's amazing. It really is amazing, brethren. It really is. Look here. It says, eat of his own meat, did drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Now, I don't know what that thing smelled like. I'd imagine he must have maybe kept it fairly clean. You'd imagine. But still, that was a sheep. And that thing lay in his bosom like a daughter. That's what the Bible says. That's an illustration. And he said, well, it's just, he's just telling a story. David understood it. And David believed it. So it's not far-fetched. He knew how to get to David's heart because David was a what? A shepherd. David was a shepherd. The point I'm making is, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, that means he's the Lord's sheep. So how could a sheep dwell? I mean, come on, look, a shepherd, the sheep don't live with him. But David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why would the shepherd allow a sheep to live in his house? Love. Pure and simple love. And that's why we're going to get to dwell in his house forever as his sheep, because he loved us. He loved us enough to give himself for it. You know, the shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And we've responded to that love, hopefully. We've responded to that love. He gave and we received the love that he offers us in Jesus Christ. Listen, in fact, to be honest, we are already there in Jesus and will be there bodily one day forever. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brethren, we are already there in Christ. We are there. We are there. If we're saved, we're in Christ. He's in us. We're in him. And we are there. It's a done deal. We're not bodily there yet. But our body's not redeemed. But that inward man is. He abides within. We're one with the Lord. And we are there in. Are you in Christ? If you are in Christ, you are there. It's as good as done. You're just waiting on the body. It's like that one song, I'm already there in Jesus, I'm waiting on my body to be. And it's the truth. Take your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, so what happens? Well, when that saved person dies, there's that body. There's that body. But that soul and that spirit have departed to be with the Lord. And they're there. They're there. They've gone to be with the Lord, and they're there, with that, not with the body, but their soul and the spirit have departed to be with the Lord. One day when it's time for that final gathering of the sheepfold, the Lord's going to come back, and they're coming with him, those departed souls. They're going to come back. And you know, something comes up where it's planted. And evidently, wherever they were planted at, that body, they're going to come up. They're going to come. There's that soul and that spirit coming back with the Lord. So the picture you get in the Bible is they're coming back with him. He stops and hangs out there, if you will, in the air. They come back and come up through that grave with a new body. And coming up there, they catch us about midway up that thing, and we get changed. In the twinkling of an eye. You drop this and you're changed and you receive that new body and you go out to, and we all meet the Lord and He just carries us all in, Him leading the way in that great sheepfold there in glory. And that lies just ahead. That lies before us. You know, talking about my daddy tonight, I'll tell you about it a little bit. It's not looking too good right now. My dad, when he was in Korea, in the Korean War, he was lost. He was a lost man at that time. And he said that there was one night he was there in his foxhole, and they were walking those mortars in. And said the Chinese, and I heard this, when I would take him to those reunions of his regiment, they all told the same thing. Human bodies didn't mean anything to the Chinese. Humanized them anything. They would dope them up on opium. They would blow these trumpets and bugles and send them into battle and just wave after wave and crossing the river on each other's body. And he said they were walking those mortars in, and he said, I was like a caged animal. He said, I was in that foxhole and they were walking those mortars in, and he said, I felt like a caged animal in that thing. Scared to death. He's lost. If that thing had caught up right with him, he'd have been in hell. Lost and in hell. And he caught grenade rounds there in his shoulder. So he finished up his tour there, came back, lost. Somebody in Carl Lackey's church invited my daddy to Sunday school. And he started going. And they had a revival meeting on who's preaching, and daddy got saved. And met my mama, who was saved. And so... About 1989, my daddy had been having some pains in his arm and was feeling funny. And he went to the doctor. They put him on a treadmill and boom, had a heart attack right on the treadmill. They laid him out. And daddy's testimony was this. He goes, I knew I was dying. He goes, I knew I am dying. He said, but there was no fear. He said, the only thing going through my mind was, what's it going to be like when I cross over? And that's the difference that salvation makes. That's the difference. Abject fear of, oh my, versus, I'm going. But there ain't no fear. Just anticipation. What's it going to be like? And then one day that's what it's going to be for all of us. That's what's going to be for all of us. Look, if we know the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, look again. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. And to prevent means to precede or go before in the dictionary. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. May I say something to you? I don't know when my daddy's going to pull out of here. It's not looking too good, as I told you before. It could be a month or two. It could be a week. It could be tonight. We don't know. But there's comfort. Don't have to lay him down there thinking, where is he? Where could it be? Is he? That was given to comfort. Paul wrote that, not so much to comfort, but to comfort us concerning those who've gone before, those who go before us. Of all the things you could leave your family, the greatest thing you could leave your family. Say, don't have to stand around there going, I don't know. You know, one of those deals where it's like, either they're saved. I know they're not saved. Or, I just don't know. If you want to leave your family something, if you want to leave them something that means something, leave them the legacy to where those words can have comfort for you. Those words can be, those words can be comfortable for them, that you are leaving them with them with that comfort that they can go to the Word of God and know and say, we'll be reunited someday. We'll see Him again someday to glory in the Lord and to worship Him. This is given for those who died, who've gone on before. Man, brethren, there's nothing. Listen. Come to Christ. Once you come to Christ, live like what you are. So that nobody has to go, well, they said, but I just don't know. I just don't know. But you don't want somebody to say, if I looked at the fruit the life bore, there was more fruit pointing to not knowing the Lord than fruit pointing to knowing the Lord. That's not what you want. That's not the situation you want. Man, the greatest thing you could ever leave your family. That's the greatest memory. The greatest thing you can leave is that they could go to the Word of God and read 1 Thessalonians and have that comfort that Scripture affords for those who know the Lord. You want to leave them not just a profession, but something that had bite and meat to it. Something that had some evidence, a life that bore out evidence of the individual of you having known God. I'll tell you this, if any man love God, the same is known of him. We all talk about being saved and this and that and the other and all kind of phrases. But the Bible says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. This is what salvation is about, loving God. Somebody should be able to say, I love God. God was first. I tell you what, I guess folks that have run monument places and everything, I guess they have to do more or less what they're commissioned to do and everything, but I'll be, man, I'm sorry. As a family member, it'd be slap embarrassing to go by a relative's grave and there sits a big tiger paw or gamecock. I'm serious. That'd just be flat embarrassing. Because it's like, really? Are you serious? What you just said. I don't know if it's so or not, but what you said was, that's my God. That's what you want us to remember about you. Read the tombstones. Man, the tombstone said some stuff. I like to go around you a great burn. Look at them old tombstones, they said something. Man, here lies, boy, their faith was in the Lord. It said something. It said some things about, are you serious? A gamecock? A tiger paw, a football helmet. I mean, seriously, guess what that's saying? That's what Dad was all about. Oh no, that's scary. What if somebody was to, on their tombstone, there they chiseled in, you know, there's his work tools. Well, that's fine. Great, you work hard for a living. That's good. But that's it? Work was your God? That was what you were all about. I mean, thank God for the ability, you know, put food on the table, you know, put clothes on your back, and nothing, all honest work and knowing a trade. Thanks be to God. But that's what it was. Amen, brother. What I'm saying is one of the greatest things we could leave is a legacy to where they're not standing there scratching their head and guessing. Look here, Psalm 23. It's really kind of short with this tonight, brethren. I mean, it's kind of funny. So many of the things we've gone through has really taken a lot of it. It's just kind of, there it is. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And He knows that. He's one of the Lord's sheep. And if the Lord's our shepherd and one of His sheep, then we also will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's that great gathering at the end of the day, you know. That's the great gathering of the sheep into the sheepfold at the end of the day. The day's done, and it's that final gather that they're coming in. Did you know something? Brethren, we're going to get... Listen. Be wary of the devil always trying to amuse you to where you don't think. What does the word muse mean? It's to think. If you put an A in front of it, it cancels it out. It means not to think. Isn't that interesting? Amuse. Brethren, do you know, look at how the seasons point to life. And it's spring, right? Man, it's fresh and it's new and it's, you know, and then there's the summertime of life, right? To where it's, you know, it's not quite the budding time of youth and everything, but then there's the fall, you know? It's kind of interesting. It's almost often in the later days of life is when you show your real colors, so to speak. You find out somebody in their later life kind of shows their real colors, kind of, you know. And then, boy, then the leaves fall off. The leaves fall off, and it's the death time of winter. But look at a day. Look at a day. The sun comes up, man, it's all there, you know, and it's bright and it's full and it's running that race, you know, as the Bible terms it, and in midday, and then it starts sinking down, you know, and then it's that even time of life, and it's kind of like that time of reflection and getting ready for the Lord's just speaking constantly to us. Constantly to us from His creation, from His Word. God is constantly speaking. And the devil knows it. So he does his best to get you and I distracted. He doesn't want you. You know what shocks me and hurts me today is even among Bible believers, the number of believers who do not think. They don't observe. They don't sit and think. They don't try to learn something from everything going on. They don't sit and try to get a spiritual something. They don't. It's just everything, even from the professing saints of God, the Bible, it's like everything is just, it's like, keep me occupied, keep me busy with something else, but not to think. And in the electronic age we're in, even more so. I mean, think about it. It's almost like, are you serious? Is that something, brother? If that's what it's all about for us, then it makes it look like that what we really are is we are just we can't function. We're in an asylum, needing something to occupy us a minute. Yes. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not being mean about that. I'm just being serious. But to be able to think, to be able to engage the mind, to see the things that are around you, and how it all points to God. But the hymn writers, the hymns we sing, boy, they understood that. It's all about that. And that's all that happened to us. It's only going to happen to us, all right? The final sheep gathering, the final gathering, the fold. David says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, he starts it out by the Lord being a shepherd. Man. But he talks about all those things that lie in between there. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But look what's in between that thing. The Lord feeding, the Lord watering, but then there's the valley of the shadow of death. You know, there's the enemies, got to have the rod and the staff to protect you. A table in the presence of the enemies. There's all those different things in there. But then there's that final, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And brethren, always keep that in mind. Always keep that ever before you. Well, listen, tonight I've got a little something that I wanted to do. It's funny. When I first started researching about sheep, even before I did Psalm 23, I was doing some research. And I ran across a video that someone had done about sheep in the Middle East. And I thought, that is good. And I thought, you know, that would be a wonderful way to close out this thing on the Lord's Shepherd. This thing on the Psalm 23, Lord's my Shepherd, the whole thing. I thought it would be a good way to close it out. And especially tonight, when what we're looking at really didn't take up as much time as we have before. It's kind of just there. David's there. He is with it. I thought it'd be a good time to do it.